preacher.
Oh, praise God. Somebody said the pastor is the shepherd and the evangelist is the sheepdog. Praise God. Well, listen, you folks burned me out during the intermission there getting those books. I had to run out to my truck a couple of times. I'm sitting up here earlier. You thought I went to the potty, didn't you? How many of you thought I went to the potty? Be honest. And no, I didn't go to the potty. Well, I did on the way back. I did. But I went out there because the Holy Ghost said, you dope, you left your truck open. And my back thing was up. A painting's on the side of it. The easel's over here. I know you got good security, but I grew up in New York. We drove stolen cars in driver's ed class. Amen. I went out there to shut everything down, you know. So, but that you're making me work. Like the last helicopter out of Vietnam. So, anyway, but there's a lot of you here that weren't here in Sunday school. So, you know, I got to drive to Alvarado 4 hours as soon as church is over. So I'm going to scoot as fast as I can with the loot. I mean, get out the door. So if you didn't get a book and want a book, if you don't mind, you know, buzzing over there as fast as you can and hit these books. Well, I go to North Carolina all the time. They say Brother Grady's here to help us. And when I leave, they say he really hoped us. So I'm here to help you. And I'm going to tell you talk about one of your native sons this morning that some of you may never have even heard of. It's a major part of my conspiracy book. But anyway, please go by if you weren't available earlier. Any book on the table is $20. You can sell your mother for $20. Everything's $19.95 on television. Who can't figure that out? If I cut my price down to $15, I wouldn't sell as many books as $20. But or three for $50 at $17 a piece. If you're a widow lady here and you don't have my new book, please come by. I'll be glad to give you a free copy with no grandstanding involved. Blah, blah, blah. So bad checks, debit cards. We went through this during Sunday school. I'll take anything you got, your ring. Saw a lady with a beautiful necklace on this morning. I told her I'd swap her. Where's that lady at? Right there. You think I'm making stuff up like that? Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, come by, and I'm working my mother through college, and we offset the tuition payments with book money. We really do. All right, you got your Bible. Open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're not even going to stand and read scripture formally because I do have to get running here, like the preacher said. And I want to give you a good conclusion to this outline. If you weren't here in the Sunday school, we're talking about the end days. I'm giving you the first chapter. If you don't get anything else, but you can get my new book. You got to get this or you're crazy. Perilous Times, Deep Truths for Shallow Waters, only 400 pages. I even put on the back cover, this special version, things are so critical. If I stutter, that's my Biden impersonation. This new version, if I fall up a flight of steps, it's my Biden impersonation. I said, given the present crisis hour, this installment of Understanding the Times will prove far more reader-friendly than the previous two volumes. Half as many pages, no tedious end notes, and very few big words. Who would put that on a jacket of a book they're trying to pass themselves off as a credible author? Well, I'm not trying to pass myself off as anything. Very few people can write 900-page books and tell you why Tony is the number one Italian name in America, if you never knew that. Yeah, they're putting them on the boats in Italy and sending them over, stamping them on their heads to New York. To New York. All right? Now, I don't mind making you laugh as long as you buy some books. But all kidding aside, we covered enough stuff in Sunday school, so we're going to continue that now. Verse 1 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. The Holy Spirit doesn't want anybody caught off guard. He wants you to know what's going down at the end. And the first point we said during Sunday school, three-point outline. First point, deep six. When you kick the bucket, you go 6 feet under. There's going to be plenty of death between now and the end of the church age. The word perilous in a Webster's dictionary says dangerous, hazardous, full of great risk. Have you started seeing some crazy stuff in this country? We haven't gotten out of the hangar yet. That's a private joke from Sunday school. Father, I pray you'll bless us now in these closing moments. Help me to cover this material rapidly. May not be over anybody's head. These folks look like they're hungry to learn. Give them the meat of this material now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First point of the three-point outline was deep 6. There's going to be plenty of death between now and the time things wrap up. You better get ready, neighbor. The second point is, well, who's responsible for all this COVID junk, which is the beginning of all this insanity? I met a girl, remember Woodstock? 2 weeks before Woodstock, they had the warm-up, the Atlantic City Rock Festival, Atlantic City Rock Racetrack in New Jersey, three-day thing. 34 bands were there, more than they had at Woodstock. Janis Joplin, all of them, Three Dog Night. I was there as a hippie. I met a girl there. I started dating her. Her father was the mayor of the town that I would get saved in, Marcus Hook Baptist Church in Philadelphia. He was a Jew. She was a Jew. Every time he saw me and his daughter, he thought about Bridget Loves Bernie. He didn't like me one bit. I'm a Catholic. I looked that girl's name up the other day and found out she died in 2020 in May. Sad thing. A girl who used to be head over heels over. Unsaved Jewish woman. Went to hell. We were like that for a year or so until I met my wife. The next girlfriend I had was my wife at the University of Delaware. She died during the COVID epidemic, 62 years old. Who's behind all that junk? Was it a pandemic or was it a plandemic? I don't know everything, but I have a chapter in this new book called Inventors of Evil Things from Romans 1:18, where it covered the COVID mess. Preached in North Carolina, I mentioned just a few weeks ago. I told those people, you know it started in your state, don't you? Chapel Hill, North Carolina, University of North Carolina. That's where it started and was sent over to Wuhan. Was it a pandemic or was it a plandemic? I think it was not only a plandemic, but I think it was a scamdemic on top of that. But don't trust me. Lord wants you to look into his word. He wants you to know. He'll give you direction. Hello. This is the last thing Paul wrote. Get the context now. They're sharpening up the axe. It's going to cut his head off. Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days revival is going to come. Is that what your Bible says? Perilous times shall come. Now he's going to list 20 signs to look for so you can miss it if you wanted to. All you teenagers, don't pass out when you see this now. The first sign he gives is, for men shall be, look, lovers of their own selfies. I mean, that's a funny little way of putting it, but do you have any idea how profound that is? Holy Spirit said, when everybody's in love with themselves, get ready to get out of here. Hey, teenagers, don't get too impressed with these stupid things. Moses was downloading data from a cloud onto his tablets a long time before Bill Gates ever had his first diaper change. We're not ignorant of his devices, lest Satan get an advantage over us. Well, Paul said. You all see that? Men shall be lovers. Now watch, he gives 20 signs there to know when the Lord's coming back. Now all sincere Christians have scratched their head forever, especially with Jesus. Nothing personal, Lord. In Matthew 24, what are the signs of the end of the world and for your coming back? Okay, well here's what to look for. Ready? Earthquakes, wars, famines. How many Christians have scratched their head for centuries? What kind of sign is that? There's always been earthquakes. There's always been wars, right? How many mothers in the room? Raise your hand. Every woman's hand up. Go talk to them. They can explain it to you just like that. I married a labor and a delivery nurse. Any mother can tell you that the closer you get to the delivery of the child, the more intense the labor pains start getting. Jesus said all of these are the beginning of sorrows. First time that word pops up, it's in Genesis 3. God's telling Eve, you're going to go through labor pains with those kids because you're messed up. You messed up. You know what that means? All those signs will hit a crescendo as you get close to the end of the age. Man that wrote the afterword to this red book here invented the neutron bomb after working on the atom bomb dropped on Hiroshima. He told me, man, you can't. There's no way of realizing where all these dirty nuclear bombs went when the Soviet Union broke up. They're all over the world. They're going to be going off between. Just keep your eye on Ukraine. And don't be a sucker. Anybody that's pulling for the Ukraine's guy, anybody that Biden's pulling for and CNN's pulling for might not be the good guy. I know you're mixed up about that, but read my book and you'll get straightened out. Hello, anybody home? You remember the beast that Daniel saw or interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar? Gold head, silver arms, brass belly, legs of iron. You all remember that? Remember those 10 toes? mixed with iron and clay. That's NATO. That's the EU. Can't you see that? They're the bad guys. Anybody ever heard of a guy running over there in Davos, Switzerland? Klaus Schwab, you ever heard of that pervert? All right. Now, here's the deal. So, like for instance, one of these signs says disobedient to parents, right? Right in chapter, in verse 4. Okay, you also, verse 3, verse 2. All right, all these signs, same principle about the labor pains. Mark Twain, 150 years ago, used to tell parents, when your kid turns 13, stick him in a barrel with a hole in it for air. Remember that quote? And when he turns 16, plug up the hole, Julian. Hey. All right? Now, you know, the Old Testament, you had laws to stone children that were disobedient to their parents. Right in the book of Deuteronomy. So disobedient children is nothing new. But when you get to the 1990s and then forward from there, you got the Menendez brothers murdering their parents. You all remember that? And that's so many murders of parents now, you got it from the kids, you got a definition of a new word, patricide. Murder of parents. See, it's starting to gonna get like that, okay? So we're talking about now who's responsible for COVID, right? Is it a pandemic or plandemic? Well, why don't you look through these 20 signs and number 15 will tell you who's responsible. But instead of Naught and Jethro Bodine coming down the line, let me tell you where number 15 is. Look at verse 4. Tell me what the first word is. Thank you very much. Elvis has left the building. You all see that? Traitors. Two or three signs before that, number 12 or 13, false accusers. Anybody ever see President Trump falsely accused for 4 straight years? Traitors. Remember the labor pains? Did we have traitors when America was set up as a nation? Sure we did, Benedict Arnold. But bums like him were in the minority. Men like Nathan Hale, the school teacher that was hung. Remember we used to hear about guys like that on a scaffold? British executed them. I regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. They were in the majority. The Benedict Arnolds were in the minority. You get to the end of America, look. It's flipped. The Democrats, they're as worthless as a piece of dental floss in a Willie Nelson concert. I was preaching in Austin, Texas on Easter Sunday morning 4 years ago, Capital City Baptist Church, and I said that, the place went nuts. I asked the pastor, what happened? He said, don't you know this is Willie Nelson's hometown? Well, I care where that bum's from. But long story short, what was I talking about? Huh? Do you get embarrassed when you can't remember where you were? Not if 100 people can't remember collectively. Where was I?
Traitors.
Okay, but so now it's the reverse. And the Republicans are worse than the Democrats. I gave you a verse for it if you're interested. I would that thou wert cold or hot.
That's right.
But because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew it. God said I'd rather have you watch CNN than Fox. CNN's cold all the time. Fox is like this. Republicans are as phony as a $3 bill now. Guys like Jordan and Trump and the former Jesse Helms, those guys are far and few between now, aren't they?
Amen.
See how it's switched? You got traitors from the church house to the White House now.
That's right.
In the last days.
That's right.
White House. It's a stinking crack house now. Yes. And a whore house. And a whore house. Biden had all those transgender freaks running around naked in the White House. Ronald Reagan wouldn't even take his jacket off in the White House to show respect. Started with Obama throwing his feet up on the desk, if you can remember that. We got traitors down there. Now, the second point in my outline, first point is deep six, right? Second point is deep state. Deep state. People used to make fun of conspiracy history. Nothing to make fun of, it's true. Don't get panicked, but I believe we went to the moon. Say amen right there.
Amen.
And worse than that, I believe the earth is round. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I believe that the shooting in New Jersey was an actual deal. It wasn't fake, the school system there. But I'm making a point. There's plenty of real conspiracies that are totally genuine.
Yeah.
Deep state. Let me show you something. the largest newspaper in Hawaii 7 days before the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. It's the Honolulu Advertiser. I was in their office in Honolulu one time. I paid $250 for a written permission to show you what the front page of their newspaper read 7 days before the sneak attack, November 30th, 1941. Here's the whole front page. Japanese may strike over weekend, right on the top of the paper. Right down here is the article, Hawaii troops alerted. Look at it yourself later. Page 907. That's some sneak attack, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Want to see something nuttier than that? Just turn the page, one page, look. Here's a full page from the Federal Register in Washington, the official record of the government. Enter that into the record. You ever hear that? Mm-hmm. This is page 9097 of the Federal Register, entered November the 7th, 1942. So where'd you get that, off the dark web? No, I got it from the Library of Congress Law Department, mailed to me with a stamp on it at my request. Peter Jennings used to say from ABC, if you hear a rumor your mother loves you, check it out. I'm a footnote person. Here's a whole article about one of the largest banks in America. They got shut down in the middle of World War II, and their assets frozen. What for? They were hiding German marks from Mr. Hitler. Money laundering, keeping his war going. See, that's terrible. Well, sure it is. But here's the board members here, if you're interested, who they were. Their names are right here in the official record of the government. Third name from the bottom, Prescott Bush. 41's daddy, the Honorable Prescott Bush, future senator of Connecticut. You know, the family that wouldn't spit on Mr. Trump during the last elections, but they had no trouble keeping Mr. Hitler going.
Yep. Wow.
That's called the deep state. Yeah. It's been around a while. Let me show you something else crazy. I mentioned Sam Cohen, the man that invented the neutron bomb. And we were close friends for the last 7 years of his life, and I don't know why he wrote this. I consider Bill Grady to be one of the most unusual friends I have known in my 84 years. That's a Jewish atheist wrote that. God gives you favor. He does those crazy things just to help get material circulating. I got a plug in USA Today for this book just because of that crazy quote. How could you make up stuff like that? But I want to read you something he put in my book. Most Americans are totally oblivious to their precarious surroundings. Several years ago, my longtime friend and colleague, Joe Douglas, authored a book entitled America the Vulnerable, The Threat of Chemical and Biological Warfare, whose preface contained the following statement, quote, while the United States debates the development of a massive defense effort against nuclear attack, the fact remains that this nation is almost entirely defenseless against chemical, biological, and toxin weapons of mass destruction. Some of these weapons may already be secreted within our borders. Others could be synthesized by our enemies within a matter of hours or days at the most. Indeed, it is doubtful that most biological attacks would even be recognized for what they are. Even if it could be proven with certainty that a particular disease was not a natural occurrence, and instead was deliberately instigated, it would be almost impossible to pinpoint the exact source. End of quote. And that's if a credible administration was trying to get to the bottom of it. I mentioned I was going to tell you about a native son of yours. The beginning of the anti-conspiracy movement in this country was called the John Birch Society. It was founded by a millionaire businessman in North Carolina who had manufactured candy, Robert Welch. He wasn't a Christian, wasn't even, I don't know, fluctuate between an atheist and agnostic, but he was one of these super patriots. It's called the John Birch. How many ever heard of the John Birch Society? Okay. A lot of folks don't know a lot about it. Today it's mostly Catholics and Mormons in the leadership of this thing, but it was right on the money from day one as far as tracking down communist infiltration into this country. They were right on the money all the time. It was named after a Baptist missionary named John Birch, who was in the first graduating class of J. Frank Norris in Fort Worth. He went to China as a missionary and rescued Jimmy Doolittle, Doolittle's raiders. He was hiding in a sampan boat. He was over there as a missionary. He got him out. Doolittle even recognized him in his memoirs called I Could Never Be So Lucky Again. But anyway, he told Doolittle, told Claire Chennault about this Baptist missionary who speaks Chinese fluently and blah, blah, blah. And long story short, Chennault drafted Birch or got him to volunteer to be a spy while he's in China as a missionary for the Flying Tigers. Flying Tigers were the American pilots that were fighting for the Chinese, shooting down Japanese planes before Pearl Harbor. Before America was formally involved in a war, they got $500 a plane they'd shoot down. Long story short, John Birch was murdered by the Chinese communists at the end of the war, 10 days after the war, and the government covered it up. Robert Welch, Robert Birch was John Birch's brother. I don't know if you know if he's still alive, but I interviewed him 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. He showed me a photocopy and gave it to me. Here it is on page 910. Here's a copy of the letter his parents got, notifying them of the murder or the death of their son, this man's brother, Robert Birch. John Birch was the Baptist missionary. Dear Mrs. Birch, it is with deep regret that I confirm the telegram of recent date informing you of the death of your son, Captain John M. Birch. The official report, what is a number? The official casual report states your son was killed on 25 August 1945. That's 10 days after Japan surrendered. En route to Sunchow, China on the Lunghai Railway as the result of stray bullets. There's two words right there, stray bullets. There's the general signature right there, General Witzel. September 12, 1945. I had a millionaire friend of mine in Beeville, Texas, had a 4,000-acre ranch. He's in heaven tonight. He arranged an interview with me with a four-star brigadier general who was the character that John Wayne portrayed in the Flying Tigers movie in the middle of World War II, who happened to live in your town about 3 miles from here. How many ever heard of General David Lee Tex Hill? Raise your hand. See that Tex Hill stuff? See, just four hands went up out of the whole room full of people. I grew up in New York City and never visited the Statue of Liberty. I mean, sometimes you're too close to the forest to see the trees. John Birch was a spy for the Flying Tigers. After Pearl Harbor, the Flying Tigers were absorbed into the Air Force and they fought formally. But this General Hill, 3 miles from here, shot down 15 Japanese planes. He was the top fighter pilot. I went to interview him. Here's a picture of me in his living room, in his basement office here in San Antonio. This is about 2003. He's posing with the Distinguished Service Cross he received. His son is a captain. His grandson's a captain in Army Intelligence, was, and he wrote his grandfather's biography. Now, I wouldn't walk across the street to spit on the Bush family based on what I know about them. That's just the way it is. You better do your own homework. But both of Bush's, 43 and 41, have jacket endorsements on this boy's book, or this grandson's book, this captain, about his famous grandpa. You don't get two presidents to endorse your book if it's some comic book. So here's the man that John Wayne portrayed in the Flying Tigers movie, General David Lee Tex Hill. Now, I come in to see him for this interview with my friend, set the interview up. COVID. I'm telling you, neighbor, before this stinking COVID thing, a preacher all day could do stuff like this. You know, when he's preaching, every time I do that now, I feel the love all over the stinking room. No. I throw it back on you. COVID ministry. So I went to see him. Here's the funny part. General Hill did not know I was a preacher. My friend with the ranch in Beeville, Texas, his daddy grew up with General Hill. General Hill was born on the mission field. Fathers were missionaries, I think, to Korea, I think, Presbyterians. Anyway, my friend arranged the interview, and General Hill did not know I was a preacher, just an author. So he comes into his office, the picture right there will show you the office. I'm sitting here, my friend's over here. He walks in this way. There's liquor bottles all over this, you know, the top of the bookcases on a shelf along the edge of the walls, along the walls, you know, up on the top of the ceiling area. Whiskey bottles, 100, like those pictures. Anybody knows a stereotype of a fighter pilot? They're extra drinkers. I guess a very stressful occupation they got, right? Well, here's the funny part. He comes walking in like this, holding his head, holding it or tapping it, saying, "Yeah, me and Chuck were bad boys last night." That's just what he started saying. He knew my friend. He didn't know me. He's talking about Chuck Yeager. broke the sound barrier. They were just getting drunk the night before. When he finds out I'm a preacher a few minutes later, it's, oh, 88 years old, old school. So we sat down, and this is what, I'm cutting a lot of the story short for time, but he says, you know, Mr. Grady, it's interesting that you're coming in here to talk to me about John Birch today, because 3 weeks ago I got something in the mail that I had heard about for 50 years but never saw it till 3 weeks ago. He's got a pile of junk on his desk, holding his headache with his hangover with one hand, looking through this mountain of junk on his desk, and I don't know what he's looking for. It's not looking good because he don't look like he can last very much longer. So I'm shooting up all these Nehemiah prayers, you know. It's just 3 miles from here. Oh, here it is. And he hands me 2 black and white photographs. An army friend of his in California ship mailed to him. They're the first photographs of John Birch's dead body when it was located. I printed one of them in the book. The one without a face, I didn't want to print that one. The one when he's laying on his back with no face. I printed the one when he's laying on his stomach with his hands tied behind his back. You know what you're looking at right there? You're looking at a smoking gun connected to the letter I showed you earlier in the back of the book. We regret to inform you of the death of your son who died as the result of stray bullets. There's some stray bullets there with his hands tied behind his back. You know how you can find anything on the internet, stuff that's not even there you can find? Get your phone out and Google dead body of John Birch. You won't see that picture on the internet. Try it. You think I'm nuts? There's the picture. A 4-star brigadier general from Texas gave me the picture. What is that? Deep state, the cover-up of that murder. Deep six, deep state. One more point and we'll be out of here. Who's responsible for all this terrible takeover of our country tonight? All these progressives and these communists and all the insanity that we're looking at. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but if I could put my guess down for what happens, boy, on the eve of the election, Trump will be going to jail and Biden will be running wild, and then an insurrection will start in this country with a few patriots. But the CIA will jump on it like they did on January 6th, and there'll be little insurrections all over the country, staged insurrections, and martial law coming next week. That's the end of the elections. Anything like that can happen. God told you traitors will be all over the place in the last days. Did you see the verse? It's sitting right there. Okay, so who's responsible for all this terrible stuff? You don't want to know. Look at chapter 4 real quick. Verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. That's pre-COVID, post-COVID. Now watch, you want to know if your preacher's doing his job right? Here's the 3 things God had Paul tell Timothy to do in the last days, if he was around when the last days came around. Reprove, negative. Rebuke, negative. Exhort, positive, with all long-suffering and doctrine. In other words, a preacher is preaching, it should be 2/3 negative. Why? Because that's what works. Is anybody saved here this morning? How'd you get saved? Death, negative. Burial, negative. Resurrection, positive. Now, here's the most important verse in the New Testament if you want to understand what's going on in this country tonight in our so-called Christian circles. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust shall they teach themselves, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to Lion King. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant fables. You see how negative that verse 3 is? Almost as negative as verse 13 of chapter 3 that summarizes all 20 points about the last days. But evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. How's that for revival conditions right before the Lord comes back? Last days, verse 1. Don't miss what you're reading there today. That Debbie Downer, yeah, it's called Ron the Reality. Now, chapter 4, verse 3 is the most important verse for you to understand. Did you notice everybody's interested in pronouns? The time will come when they. Who's that they talking about? The You only got two options, saved people or lost people. How could it be lost people? For they will not endure. The time will come when they won't. How could lost people endure sound doctrine at all up to a point and then turn it off? That's talking about your Christian friends in this town. They used to go to this church, maybe. And notice it doesn't say they won't believe sound doctrine.
Right.
They believe it. They just won't put up with it anymore.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to make everybody mad. No refunds. Forget you. Anybody got a job here? Will you work with people? Anybody managers here, supervisors? What are you going to do when some pervert comes to work at your company who's a man, he says he's a woman? How are you going to address that pervert? With his female pronoun that he wants? Can't hear you. You're all gagging on me. See? You're going to sell out, aren't you? What happened to male and female created thee them? He told you evangelists afflicts the comforted. See what I mean? Now you're going to find out what the tribulation saints are going to go along with. You don't take the mark, you don't eat. You don't compromise to that filthy requirement in your job, you might lose your job. Well, good. Maybe God will have to take care of you then. It started with stinking yoga. You got to take yoga classes to increase your focus. Yoga is demonism on steroids. Don't you know that? But if I say no, I might get in trouble with my boss. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Let me give you the third point real quick. Paul told the church to wake up in the book of Romans and Thessalonians and I believe Ephesians. Tells them to wake up, Thessalonians, three different times. During the Philadelphia church age, beginning in 1790, 91 with the Bill of Rights, when they had big revivals in the churches, they always called them great awakenings. God told the church to wake up three times. You know what happens when you get to the end of the church age? They don't wake up when they go out. The time will come when they will not endure. You know what REM sleep means? Look at the pastor over there quick. Deep six, deep state. Number three, deep sleep. When the Christians go out in the last generation, they go out. And they're going out like flies. They are. It's part of the age. Sorry. It's Reality City if you're interested. And you couldn't wake them up with a neutron bomb. Ain't that something? Now, let me tell you the deepest thing you'll learn this morning if you're looking for the unusual stuff. Remember, he brings special speakers in. They better have special material for you for special results. My mother committed suicide when I was 11 years old. I'll be with my friend in Houston, Texas next week. Brian Green, his father was a preacher. He vacuumed his father's brains up with a vacuum cleaner after he got tired of the brethren, shot himself. Guy walks out of a church screaming to his wife, I'm never going back to that place again. She says, you got to go back. He says, give me one good reason. She said, you're the pastor. Anybody have suicide in their family? All over the room. You know why people commit suicide? Because they lose hope. It's the only reason. Who's going to shoot themselves if they think there's a way out of their depressing problem? The Bible gives you two verses about that. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Do you know the Christians that are going to be alive on the cusp of the rapture? They're the most unique generation in the church age, especially since the Philadelphia church age opened up. You're the first Christians that can't turn things around. No matter how many stupid Ashbury revivals you get and fake things like that. Tell me how many liquor stores closed in Kentucky before you judge me. I know what I'm talking about. Hey, neighbor. Well, wait a minute. If evil men shall wax worse and worse, I guess we're supposed to throw the towel in, right? No, the very next verse, if you look at it, verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast heard of me. The last thing you do is stop serving God, but you got to do what your head screwed on, right? And realize that painting, that cover of my new book, I got those prints out there. I got the painting out there. I almost got stolen because I left it on the sidewalk. But the print is on the table of Acts chapter 27, that shipwreck scene. That's a picture of the end of the church age. The closer you get to the end of the journey, the more people are throwing things overboard. Any old timers in here? Can tell you how things used to be in the church. Closer you get to the end of the age, the more shallow the water gets. 20 cubits, 10 cubits, read Acts 27. And the closer you get to the end of the age, the worse the fishing is. Jesus said, launch out into the deep for a draught. How many big fish you catch in tiny little cubits? I preached up in Montreal, Canada, gave that outline, and some French Canadian mustache, you know, had everything but a hat sideways. Tall dude. How's the weather up there? Fixing the rain. Real big, tall guy with a French accent. He says, Dr. Grady, I loved your sermon on Acts chapter 27. But we must never forget the minnows. That's what you're dealing with now, mostly, preacher. Boy, in the 1970s, I got saved in 74. They're falling out of the trees getting saved. Now, half of them are crazy. That's the end. We're in 2 cubits of water. Read your Bible. So you're the first Christians that have to go on with suicidal tendencies breathing down your throat back here mentally. You got to keep serving God, even though you can't get those people to come to church, like you're killing yourself trying to do it. Anybody ever get discouraged trying to do that? Well, that's the end of the age. Neighbor, you're special soldiers for God. Deep six, deep state, deep sleep. Listen, I'm all done. Got to be done. Alvarado is calling. Amen. I got it mixed up with Laredo, 2.5 hours away. Boy, what a mistake that was. Okay, I'm all done. Big mistake, though. I showed my 3-point outline to my wife. She's my proofreader. She's sharp as a tack. I married up so high I had a nosebleed on my honeymoon. I showed her my outline, opened the scriptures to her. What do you like those 3 points, honey? You know, stand by your man ministry. And she said to me, she's looking at it for a few minutes, and all of a sudden she says, well, I see a 4th point in there. You know, 4th one walking in the fire, you know. I said, that's impossible. Who doesn't know every preacher's sermon is 3 points in a poem? Are you not kidding? She said, I see it right there. She said, no, I said, you're crazy. Then I started getting deep with her. I'm going to put her down, you know. I said, God's a trinity. Don't you realize that? We're made in his image. The Bible says body, soul, and spirit. There's thousands of threes in the world. Yes, no, maybe. Mother, father, child, red light, green light, yellow light, past, present, future. Thousands of threes. Mo, Larry, and Curly. Say amen right there. I said, because we're all reflection of God. That's true. That's true what I'm telling you now. I was trying to impress her. Every stupid joke you tell somebody's got 3 parts to it before you get to the punchline. Did you ever notice that? That's because of who he is. Told you God controls this world. Hello. How come Italians can't count to 10? You ever heard that joke? Pray for these Thailand gals. But they're still hanging in there with me. You know why Italians can't count to 10? Because every time they get to 2, they run into a tree. Say amen. I said, where's that 4th point, woman? She said, right there, verse 6. Paul said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. She said, that sounds like deep space to me. Don't you men hate it when your wife not only gets one up on you, but I mean a big one? I had to put a whole chapter in my book because of that. Chapter 2 is on the rapture. It's called The Trumpets Out of the Case. She killed me. Killing me, Smalls. You know, the next week after she showed me that great revelation, I preached it in a church in Missouri. And this preacher come up to me. He said, he's an old Marine, jarhead. He said, Brother Grady, I'll give you a 5th point for the millennium, deep dish. I said, no, dude, it has to have an S. What's the matter? What are you, an ex-Marine? It's got to have an S to it. But he wrote me a $20,000 check to print the new book, Perilous Times, so he can put anything he wants in it. Hey, man, listen, don't you buy any cemetery plots on cash. Put them on time payments. The trumpet is out of the case. Deep six, deep state, deep sleep, but thank God, deep space. We're getting out of here. And that's just a little outline from 2 Timothy 3. God doesn't want his children to be caught off guard. Get ready. We're getting out of here soon.
Amen, brother.
Stay faithful, but continue thou. Pastor, would you come? But continue. I have hundreds of sermons. I'm preaching 50 years next year. But if I don't preach the material in my books, the preachers flip out. So this is more lecture, more teaching. You know, it's not the kind of preaching you normally get from a barnstorming service. So it's meant to edify you more than anything else. So I feel led to turn this over to the preacher at this time. Thank you for listening so well. Keep your guard up. It's almost time to get out of here. Pastor.
For just a moment. Well, I love that old simple way of explaining it. Old preacher said, it all looks gloom and doom, but I read the back of the book, and we win. We win. Our hope has never been in the government. Our hope has never been in weaponry. Our hope has always existed beyond the stars and the clouds, where our redemption draweth nigh. You know, when you hear these things, it can be troubling. You start hearing words like the end and things getting worse before they get better, and things like deep state. All these things that trouble us. I think about how a man in the middle of the Roman Empire, an empire dedicated to extinguishing Christianity at its peak, slaughtering Christians, genocide, and there he was imprisoned. But he wrote, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." He went on to write, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." He wrote that from a jail, knowing that soon after he was going to be executed because he believed and preached Jesus. And yet in the midst of that deep state, he found joy, the hope, and the promises of God. Beloved, you and I are living in some perilous times. What would be described in theology as the last of the last days. And I don't know if you and I will see the rapture or if our kids will, but I do know that the rapture's coming. It's coming. And the key is be ready for it. Not dread it, not try to prevent it. Be ready for it. There's only one way to be ready for the return of Jesus, and that is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Many of you have already done that. You can remember the day. You rejoice in that. Your salvation is the source of your strength. When the whole world has fallen apart, your salvation is the source of your joy. There may be somebody in here today who has no recollection of a day that they accepted Jesus as their Savior. The reason you don't recall it is because it's not there. You've never had that moment where you accepted Jesus as your Savior. And it's not that you don't believe in Jesus, and it's not that you've rejected Him. You just have failed to accept Him, to ask Him into your heart and to claim Him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're one of those today that applies to. In a moment, when I ask you to stand, we're going to have people ready that can take you to a private room and give you important information from the Word of God. Not what we think or what we believe, but what the Word of God says concerning your salvation. If you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I remember that day. I can recall the day I asked Jesus to be my Savior," would you slip your hand up? Amen. I see hands everywhere. Boy, don't ever forget that day and rehearse it in your mind and tell others about it.